for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, May the 23rd, 2009. Jim Landry is the speaker of this service, teaching on the curse of expectation.
God bless you, Pastor. God bless all of you. Father, we just pray your glory just fill this place. God, turn us around. Reshape us and mold us after your image. We want our lives transparent. God, deliver us from the kingdom of self. Open our eyes, Lord God, where we're blind. Strengthen us where we're weak. Place all of our dependence upon you. We want to be illuminated by you, directed by you, for we are safe within you. We want to run to your tower. We know there's refuge. We thank you, God, for tonight. We thank you for all that you've done, all of the work you've begun in each one of our lives. Once again, we are confident that you will complete our missions. Not us, but the Christ in us to do it the work. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Welcome again. Looks like I see some new faces out there. Tonight, at some point in my message, we're going to deal with the curse of expectation. But before we get there, let's do some pastoring. And hopefully this will sort of place you in a position so you can be in have the ability to receive what I'm about to share with you. How many of you know that the enemy is a master at delusion? And he'll try to interfere. So we have to pray that God give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Amen? Caller really blessed us today on that lion spirit, huh? Amen. I'll tell you, you ever talk to a friend or someone and they told you there was 50 people at the meeting, it was about 15? We call that the evangelistic lie. So I was really touched by that. I wanted to make sure all that whatever was left in me to come out. Because the Landry family had a long history of lying. And but tonight, let me encourage all of you. We're in a war. And as it is in any war, God gives us enough victories to keep us going. You're going to have a few defeats to keep you honest. But there are some maintenance things that you can do in your own life. You could definitely divorce your enemies. You can fall out of agreement with your enemies. And you can trust the strong arm of the Lord. I'm mindful that when God spoke to Moses, and he was sending the people, the children of God, into the promised land, he made it very clear to them that they were to go in and they were to dispossess the land. In other words, replace it with the Word of God. And destroy all of the pictures and molten images and just all of that demonic land. God wanted it cleansed. He made it very clear. He said, don't allow your children to intermarry with those nations. All of the nations, with the exception of Israel, were so heavily infested with demonic worship, child sacrifice, just sexual sins, the Canaanites, full of rejection. But God's people, and God's people today, were protected because he was their God. But they had a responsibility to drive out the ikes of those lands. And I can tell you this from years of experience, you're not going to get rid of those that you're in bed with. You're not going to get free from your friends. And I'm speaking of the friends being those that are our enemies. I liked what I heard earlier today. I think in one of the messages that dealt with David. It was a lot of wonderful messages, and trust me, I do pay attention. I'm not so much into the ministry. I love the ministries. So I won't remember who said what every time, But I'll be paying attention to the word because I realize out of an hour I might be able to retain about 8 minutes of it. So sometimes taking notes and all that help increase that percentage. But I'm confident this much, that God will bring it all to my remembrance whenever he needs me to know it and to witness it or to share it with anyone. That much I'm confident in, that he will bring whatever is necessary if we will apply ourselves to our remembrance. And so I heard the message of David, this ruddy, young, freckle-faced teenager going against Goliath. And I was excited. I always get excited when I hear about David, the heart of David. And what a way to start about talking about the curse of expectation, because David had an expectation that his God reigned and that his God was definitely going to show up and win the battle, right? So just a perfect thing here while we in worship. God puts in my heart David. And David had conquered two strong men in his life that was absolutely necessary before you go to war. And I want to encourage everyone, because if your expectation is like nil, then you're not going to do very well in the kingdom of God. And the possibility is that there might be a curse upon your life, and that's why your expectation is so standard, is so lowered. And hopefully I'm confident we'll do something about that today if you apply yourself. And so David is a great example, because when David had to testify before his authority figure, the king, and because the king required an accountability of his ability, and David knew how to even leave the care of his sheep with another caretaker. Even when David left his wagon, he left that with another caretaker. He never did anything independent. He never tried to get next to nobody so they can be, I was with Brother Jim last year, so they can go to your church and preach. He didn't do anything like that. He wasn't that type of crafty person. But one thing I'm mindful is that before he went to this battle against this giant, David had conquered two beasts, specifically the bear and the lion. And some time ago, I've referenced that and heard some wonderful teachings probably 25, 30 years ago. And let me just say that the bear represents the large religious system, and that the lion represents pride, the roar of the lion, the most proud animal and beast of the jungle. And David had those two things dealt with in his life early, before he was going against the world, before he was going against God's enemy. And I encourage you that we also would defeat that enemy in our life. The enemy of religion and the enemy of pride. But that's not where we're going tonight. Tonight I want to remind you that when David was about to take it to the enemy's camp, David did not only take out running towards the giant. He didn't walk. He ran. Man, boy, that's awesome, huh? And to ensure that his enemies would not come back prophetically and be a snare to him, David picked up five rocks instead of one. His faith was one. David was going to take out what sometimes we don't want to do. We want to get rid of tobacco, but we don't get rid of the alcohol. When he went after Goliath, he had the old rest of the four rocks for Goliath's brothers. And said, we need to be with the same attitude when we go after a kingdom, go after the kingdom. For if you allow anything in that kingdom to remain, you're in bed with your enemy. And your sin will find you out. And your expectation from God is going to be greatly lowered. So what are we expecting from God? I'm expecting great things from God. In Psalms 34:19, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. I expect God to deliver us out of them all. I expect that. In Psalms 41:3, it says, the Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou will make all his bed in his sickness. I expect God to bring me divine care in sickness. I expect that. What do you expect? Amen. In Psalms 43:2, the scripture says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, Thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. I expect God to be my comfort and to walk in His presence, and that He is going to be my divine protector. Do you believe that? In John 14:1, it says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. We commonly hear that scripture at funerals. Can you believe it today? We have an eternal home with God. You know, if you are living alive and separated from God, then you're really dead. But if you're a die to self, then God will make you alive. Paraphrased, of course. In Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. So all things work for good for the believer that are called towards His purpose. So I encourage every one of you, because each one of you are called to His purpose. You're going to have faith in God, and you're going to have trust in God. And the only way I know is to tell you to get and start obeying the standard of God. Obey God's word. You're going to have to search the scriptures daily. You're going to have to trust God, because the enemy wants to rob you of your faith. Now, in the Bible, I wish I could find my notes. I couldn't at the time. But I remember some years ago I did a study, and I think in the New Testament it has a number of faiths. No faith, weak faith, little faith, all the way up to great faith. So where are you on that? And so I want to encourage you tonight that perhaps in the areas where you're not where you're supposed to be on the scale, it could be because you have an expectation of something dangerous to occur in your life, and it's still in your faith. So what is your trust in? Is your trust in man? That's dangerous. Is your trust in the system? That's dangerous. Is your trust in Babylon system? Very, very dangerous. Because we're talking about the religious system, now the political system, and the monetary system, or merchants. Very dangerous. Our provisions should come from God and God alone. And when we have an expectation that we are going to be in poverty, we are stressed, and there's anxiety that we won't have what we need, it's a good possibility that the curse of expectation is at work. So tonight we're going to spend some time working on Him, and hopefully none of us will escape some of the scriptures and examples that God has placed in our heart to share with you tonight. I can assure you that if this message doesn't touch you, that it will definitely be a help to you to help someone else. Because all of us have been commissioned to do the work. Let me first say that this particular curse will affect believers, backsliders, and unbelievers. Everybody can be affected if they're not sealed by God's glory. If they're not trusting in God's holy word, you're subject to the curse of expectation. This curse should not be so common amongst us. We are the bride of Christ. But because of a lack of knowledge in the results of anticipating an adverse thing, this type of curse can gain a door in your life. Because you just don't know. And tonight I'm going to try to cover a few things that we do or say, or we may have done, that has allowed this curse to remain in our life and hinder an aspect of your spiritual growth. Amen? Okay. Remember, in my opening comments I said, fear robs us of faith. Fear works in facts. Alright? There are a lot of facts out there, but they're only secular facts. Facts from the world system. The world system works in facts, and we as the members of the Bride of Christ, we work by faith in God. The world system says, because your father had cancer, you're going to have cancer. The world system says, you come from an ape. So you're going to have to wrestle with all that through this message tonight. Because whose report are you going to believe? Well, We can see an example of this curse working in Job, 3rd chapter, verse 25, and we know that Job was expecting some evil. It says in Job 3:25, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." And see, Job was fearfully anticipating the possibility of a calamity, a loss. And Job was walking in great fear. And fear is an open door to the satanic powers to work and operate in our lives. In Galatians 6:7 says, "Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap." Now, probably as I'm going through some of the notes and sharing with you, you're probably saying, I can't think of anything I'm expecting like that. Any type of adverse thing to happen to me, I'm not thinking like that. I'm a child of God, so I'm working for God. But the sinner don't think that way. The person that's lost don't think that way. In fact, Isaiah 48:22 says that there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. No peace. So I ask you tonight, are you having a problem with peace somewhere in your life? Is there an area where you don't have peace, where there's not peace? Backsliders don't have peace. Unbelievers don't have peace. But we, the bride of Christ, ought to have peace. We ought to have peace. But those that are on the outside of the ark of safety are constantly bombarded with all type of anticipation of adverse things. Oh, yeah. Many of them are able to cope because of the hard lessons they learned in their life. They learn how to adjust to those feelings. And I'm hoping I'm sharing this with believers that are going to counsel someone one day, and you're going to minister to someone that has this problem. And I hope I'm singing to the choir that there's no one here that's these notes and things I'm sharing with you reference. But in the event there is, then tonight could be a new day for you. Your whole life could change if you can get the concept of the curse of expectation. The curse of expectation is the thing that calls us to fill up our medicine lockers, buy extra bottles of hot sauce before we travel, and buy all sorts of preventative things. Make sure we got the fourth pack of cigarettes hid in the trunk. If we could just break the curse, maybe you'll just leave with three next week, and then 2 weeks from now, you'll be free. I'm not judging you. I'm just trying to help you get out of this thing. I'd rather have you up here one day talk about how for 10 years I did this and nobody seen it, and then God freed me. So the curse of expectation can cause you to think I'm judging you. Anybody been around me long enough will know that I don't take any prisoners. So if you're crossing the line somewhere, I've probably told you, and we had to work through that. So many of the people that have this type of curse operate on them. They learn to adjust their feelings. They compensate for their fears and anxieties through several ungodly methods. Some focus on job performance. I mean, they can be expert job performers, and they also snitches. Excuse me. I'm sorry, it's a little bit, whatever it takes to make it, buddy. At your head, we chop your head off too to make it. That way I can take all the head off of me and make the boss look at you. So they tend to be snitches too, so. Then they can develop addictions to such things as gorging themselves with food, tobacco, sex. And I want to make sure you understand about the food, tobacco, sex, and drugs, and so forth. This is a type of challenge for them, because they feel withdrawn, and they feel there's a type of bondage operating in their life, because this curse is keeping them feeling inadequate, and they don't feel they're going to be able to get the victory, because they just don't think that, they can make it, or they can get the right prayer, or the right prophecy. It's some kind of wall there. And so they need these things, but they need more than just those things. They need to conquer those things. In other words, they need to conquer sexual fornication with women. They want more than one. One at a time, maybe, but they want more than one. They need to conquer the food thing. Okay? In America, it's a little different than Europe and other places. Now, in Europe, my wife tells me they get a wonderful hotel in the clothing stores. You can go have a wonderful meal, but not all you can eat. But over here is all you can eat. And alcohol, and medications and all these things they do to calm their demons. That's all they're doing. They're calming their friends. And many of these people that have this type of curse can become so hard-headed, so rebellious, that you can't tell them anything because they develop and build a wall. And everybody that's getting close to reading their mail, you've got mail, has got a personal vendetta against them. It's personal. My personal vendetta is against a demon. You're my co-heir in the faith. My love for you and my desire for all of you is to exceed whatever God has given me in my ministry. And if you go to our assembly, every person there, particularly in the ministry staff, will tell you that Pastor said, take his place. Kick me out so I can go to the nations. But if I go too early, I may not go under the call of God. Going is easy. But going with him, how are you going? I mean, there's places all over the East and Africa and all the places. All you got to do is pay the flight ticket. You can be a dud and make it over there. Because they're not qualifying you in many places. But they are those over there. And we have friends that do. Well, they can also be very selfish, self-centered, controlling. And they'll do things intentionally to hurt folk. They just want to attack folk, you know. Some kind of subtle way, sometimes very acute, just very forward about it, they will attack you. This curse makes them do this. And Isaiah 57:20, it says, but the wicked are like a troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose water casts up mire and dirt. They attempt to hurt people, and their character and nature in doing so is a picture of the mire and dirt being stirred up within them. They are fearful. They have no rest. And they have a tendency to constantly anticipate an adversity happening in their lives. So far, I hadn't touched anybody so far yet. And that's good. That's good. So we're doing good so far. I'm getting all, just like in court, I'm getting judge say okay, everybody say okay, so it's okay. So it's good. But still, I'm going to tell you now, they can expect some negative things and harmful things and situations to visit them. Many wrestle with lots of worry. But they have a tendency not to be able to see that worry within them, but others can see it. It's a worry. And others can see, most of the time, can see their actions and what comes out of their response and how they handle certain circumstances or situations, Jesus spoke against worry and anxiety. And in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 25, let me read those scriptures to you. I know that we're all familiar with the scriptures. I prayerfully hope so anyway. Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 25, it says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on it. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body than the raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much more better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add a foot and a half to your weight, or to your height, or a cubit unto your stature? And why take ye thought for raiment, considering the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin? And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all of this glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what are we going to be clothed with? For all these things the uncoveted nations seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Do we trust God? You have to ask yourself this question. Do you really, really trust him? Some years ago, my wife and I placed our complete trust in the Lord. And although we did do that, I had responsibilities as the breadwinner for our family. I could have greatly impoverished our lifestyle unless the Lord had done something else if I had not listened to him. It was very apparent to me that I would be a tent maker. It was part of my apostolic calling that I would travel one day. In order to do that, I needed to get familiar with tent making. I needed an occupation. I needed to work. A lot of my peers in ministry departed onto greater ministries, so to speak. They don't have to work, became pastors or evangelists. But God told me to work. And you know what? I didn't have a problem with it. I didn't have a problem with it. In fact, it was wonderful. But there seems to be a trend in the body of Christ today that working is like a dishonored thing. We don't want to work. And let me tell you something. I got till last May, I retired with only a few years on my company. 17 years. People normally come out of those jobs with 32 up years. And trust me, I only had a small pension, which I was able to acquire in a lump sum. And it would be small if you had to compare it to anyone else I know that come out of the same industry. But you know what? My wife and I, in fact, I visited with Chris. Chris came over to the house and we talked on finances and things like that and just got some, Chris was a friend of ours who's going to be with the Lord here a few months back. And past member of the board here. And I said, well, let's just talk about this. And so we looked at the numbers, we talked, and I said, nah, that's not going to work. I said, God's gonna have to do better than that to me. I'm just saying to myself, you know. But you know what? Not one time did I doubt God. Not one time. My son came to me. He's a God-fearing man. And he's probably more knowledgeable in Greek and Hebrew than I am. And he said, listen, I need to talk to you. He began to talk to me about the self-directed IRA. And I talked to Pat and the Pattons when they were down in Beaumont in March about it. And it's very common in some places around the world and around the country. But it was not common with me or anyone I knew. And because I listened to my son, and my wife and I took some time out and went to Houston to sit down with some CPAs, one guy flew in from Taiwan to have dinner with us. I paid for his supper, and he didn't charge me. It's $500 an hour. He said, don't charge. Don't, just pay for my meal. It's okay with y'all. We talking about Jesus. God. What do y'all do? Oh, my daddy was a Baptist preacher. I said, oh, praise God. I didn't do anything to stop him from charging me, but he just said, just pay for my meal. Let's go. And once I got the confirmation of what my son was trying to get me to understand and comprehend, since it was not something common, then I contacted the number one agency in the country and not some of the other outfits that just came under their umbrella. And then I connected with one of the accountants directly at the firm. And they were able to take the little bit I had and multiply it almost tenfold. I didn't lose a dime during the stock market. I had checkbook control over all of my finances. And not one time, and I have bobbled, as they say, on a lot of things. But God gave me the job, and God will continue to provide for me. Now, I was at my daughter-in-law's house with my son, and her dad was there. He used to be a member of our church. He said, Brother Jim, I didn't know you had retired. I said, Cass, I came by the job and let you know I was leaving. I said, you probably thought I was going to leave your job. I wasn't going to do no work that day for you. He started laughing. And he said, I think you did come by that. I said, well, yeah. I said, I didn't want to say it too loud. You know, I'm getting out of here at 55. And already that just come against the grain. People get upset, you know. And I said, you know, Cass, I said, you remember 17 and three quarter years ago, I said, you and Brother Millett, Sister Bert, Sister Carolyn, y'all laid hands on me when they were hiring in our city to get that specific job. He said, I remember, Brother Jim. I said, well, I haven't forgot what you did either. And I say, I still testify about that to this day. So I'm confident that God gave me the job and that God would do a whole lot with the little bit I had. So my expectation from God exceeds my expectations. And within me, I got a lot that I want to share with the body of Christ about things like that. And when I do some seminars, I'll probably teach on some finances and things like that. Because we just don't know, and the big boys are not going to introduce you to it. Because that's what they do. And they're not going to tell us. They consider us to be small fries going through the drive-thru window. That's another day. Another ministry. People, a very close friend of mine and a part of our staff, came to me and began to pray for me and encourage me with the conferences, saying, listen, God's given you the vision, Brother Jim. He will also give you provision. We lost our building three times. In 2005, Hurricane Rita demolished our building. FEMA came in and said, you got to tear it down. I said, just go. I got it. We're not going to want none of your money. Just go. You know. So they left. And we rebuilt it. It took 2 years. We moved back in 2 years exactly, the month of the anniversary of the hurricane. During that whole 2 years, we had major conferences in our city, of which Sister Jerry, our pastor, and all, many of you were there. I never once told anyone nothing. The only people knew a little bit about it was Lake Hamilton, but it wasn't because I would take advantage and ravish through the body of Christ by sending out emails that Brother Landry is trying to rebuild his church. Do you understand that I could have contacted a lot of friends and I would have got the money? Mm-hmm. But you know what it did? It brought our little fellowship to another church I had in another city. Do you know them people had to drive out of town every week? I say, praise God. I got some disciples here. So I watched it happen. I said, man, I look out Sunday morning, coming in. I got one lady, she kind of little crushed there. You know, I said, I'm watching them come in. I said, yeah, got some disciples here. I made them do that for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Oh, I could have wrote the check, $6,000-$7,000 to finish the roof. How much we got this week? All right, put it over there. Let's save it. What are you expecting from God? Where's your expectation? She said, God give you a vision, Brother Landry. God will give you provision. And she said it twice to me in the last 3 years. She said it to me right before the last conference. She came to me and said the same thing again. I said, oh, I believe. I'm a believer now. I'm a believer. So I speak to each one of you. God has placed vision in each one of you. I'm confident of that. And he wants you to know, according to the scripture, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not. Neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Verse 26. How do you feel about yourself? I wrestle with some things. You know, I'm still Brother Jim. But as far as, am I wrestling whether or not I trust God? No. I know He is my provider. I can tell you some things, all kind of things. My dad had a high position at the company I worked for, and so some of the people that were in high management got there because of him during the struggles of the 60s and 70s. And he's, as some of you know, he was military, so a lot of people respected him because he had the flag put up in front of the ExxonMobil refinery. It was Mobil at that time. And so there was a couple of people deciding they were going to come against me because I'm just the Jesus freak, you know. I'm on this job, and I don't know, they set me up. How do you know that if you're living right with God, that the enemy can, you know, can work a little scheme like that, but you're going to be bold. And so my dad called me and said, listen, Jim, you're going to have to tone down a little bit on your witness a little bit there because them boys, they ain't liking it. I said, oh, really? So I respect my dad, so, you know, I'm still a little, you know, a little worried there, but I say, well, he just don't understand. So then another friend came to me at the job, and he said, preacher, if you need anything, learn anything about the job, anything, just let me know. So that was too many signs there for me. So I began to pray. I said, okay, what's the scheme? What's the wow? Was I having a problem with expectation? No. But I began to do what I was supposed to do. I didn't get paranoid and go left and try to figure out who doing what. As far as I was concerned, they doing what they supposed to be doing. I just wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing. I should have been praying for them more. And so, I came to the assembly at some point in my walk, and sometime in my prayer, I told those that were there, there'd be several people that were there are still there today. Some are going to be with the Lord. Incidentally, you elders who pray for those that have gone on to be with the Lord, you have a responsibility to continue to pray for that patriarch's family, those spouses and children and children's children that remain, for as far as their house, they should serve the Lord. So in my daily prayers, I pray for all. I've buried some, I've wedded some, and I've christened some. You got a responsibility. It's bigger, much bigger than what you might be perceiving at this time because we can get so caught up in our little ministries. But you have to pray for those families. So I called the congregation together. I said, listen, I done a search around the whole plant, and the best job in the plant is pump house 8. Boy, I must have been pretty bold. As I look back, I don't know if I would have done that today, you know. It's a little bit, you know, all right, Lord, just whatever you want to do here. But I said, I did do a study. I said, the best job in our entire refinery was at Pump House 8. All right? So they said, so we all prayed. I prayed, asked the Lord for it. And I don't know, just left it alone. About 3 months later, they called us. They began calling some of the young people like myself who had been on the job less than 3 years into their office and said, they are cutting back on the hydrocracker process. I was hired in a special craft. They're cutting back, and they're going to offer you jobs in the main plant. So you're going to keep your salary, but you can take from one of these 5 jobs. So I sat down there. I'm thinking it was a setup, you know. I see what they got, and I look down. I see Pump House 8. I say, oh, man. I say, man. So do you trust God? Some of us don't ask them to do nothing. We just ask them for something. We're trying to get... I mean, I don't know what you're asking for. I mean, what is your purpose? My purpose is so I can make myself more available to the church, to do more witnessing. I didn't get out of the job because it was difficult, high tech, backbiting the gossip. I know a lot of ministers didn't quit their jobs because somebody cursed on the job. Man, that's why I'm there. So everything I did and asked God for was for God. Am I challenged? Sometime to ask things from Jim? Yes. Yes, just a couple nights ago, I was on the way driving here. I got a phone call from my banker saying, listen, I know you want a Mercedes-Benz. You can just have this. Just take up the notes. Nothing. I got it all set up for you if you want it, Pastor. Because the banker is one of my treasures. I said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll talk to Sister Bird. I don't know. I talked to my wife. My wife just started laughing. I said, I forgot to call you 2 days ago. Well, I talk to her every day. But I forgot to tell her about that. Because I just bought another car, I said, I didn't want to be too quick to say, no, I can't do that. You know, I say, because I want people to always feel comfortable to call me in case I might need something. Or you might need something. All right, so we'll wait till Monday. I'll sit with them, go by and visit with her at the bank. Or maybe my wife will see her Sunday at church, her and her husband, and say, well, we probably won't want to do that since we just bought the other vehicle. You know, but we don't just throw a wall up there because somebody in our group might need a vehicle. And here is no down payment. Low miles, Benz. I've never had one, so that's not really a big deal. But I like big vans, SUVs, because I travel a lot. Speaking of that, we had a wonderful lunch today. And at lunch, we talked about tailgating. You know, you sit down, somebody else is driving, you're real close. You say, so it was really a good discussion, and it's very appropriate for tonight's subject. Because you can kind of feel this thing kind of come up in your bowel area, you know, like, I say, honey, I'm trying to be the man, you know. When you drive like that, I say, no, I don't drive that fast. And I have a very big SUV. It's probably the next size up to the Excursion. I'm right below the Excursion. And I told her, I say, honey, this thing is heavy. But you know, I stopped a couple of months ago. Now I don't say nothing. I just trust her. And I just relax. I know I don't get those balls in my stomach, you know. I just let her go on. And she knows when I'm getting a little antsy, I guess that's the term. And she just kind of backs off a little bit. But, you know, am I touching anybody so far yet? This is a very short message, but it's kind of designed to kind of awaken us that, oh, well, we need to deal with this. We can't just escape this. Okay? And Jesus says, which of you, taking thought, can add 1 cubit unto his stature? Jesus is telling us that these evil thoughts in our minds represent worry, anxiety, and it will hinder your growth. It will hinder your growth. It's not going to add, but it's going to take away. So we need to stop worrying, begin strengthening our faith by getting into God's Word. I like what my mentor says, Sister Jerry, that 24-hour, 24/7 tape of the Word of God just flowing. That's powerful. But let me warn you also, if you're one of those that like to calm your demons, as Saul would say, where you need some nice gospel in the background, and a tape playing over here and TBN over there, that's confusion. So that's telling me right there, you got an evil angel that's affecting you. And he's going to be under that curse of expectation. In Romans, the 14th chapter, verse 23, says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Expecting an adverse thing, expecting something harmful to occur to you, is sin. A lot of our expectations are being, well, let me say it like this. The enemy is working a plan today in Texas and many other places to disarm us from trusting in God by implanting this law to inoculate all of our girls. Horrible! Sexual abstinence is the only answer. And men, stop frequenting prostitutes and multiple relationships, because you can bring the papa so-and-so virus to your wife. I can't pronounce it, it's such a long word. All right, y'all know what I'm talking about. I heard some people out there saying it. So if you wouldn't do that, they wouldn't be passing the law today. Not you. All right, I stand accused. I was one. I never cheated on my wife, nothing like that. But I'm just saying, I had a promiscuous lifestyle when I was in the world. And by the grace of God, I won't cheat on her. I love my wife. I don't know if y'all, some of y'all met Miss Burt. Sister Burt. Anyway, hopefully I'm saying something that's going to help all of us. Scripture says that the just shall live by faith. Amen? Well, Brother Dean taught us something a long time ago. He challenged us to think like you do your children. He says that means that the unjust is going to live by facts. And that's the way he would challenge us in the Bible classes. And, of course, you wouldn't know 2 years ago he couldn't speak. Barely could walk. And we didn't give up on him because he never gave up on us in our youth. And so when he went down, myself, our ministry, Pastor Ed, his wife and everything, we stepped up to the plate. And his family is not concerned. They know that we can contact them, and they know we're going to take care of our pastor because they all live out of the city. His daughter will be in tomorrow when he gets there. She's expecting me to bring him home. Amen? Well, I'm sowing seeds for generations, for my children and my children's children. And I thank God for the love of my father. I didn't always have that. It wasn't that he didn't love me. I didn't know how to love him. The opposite of faith is fear. Fear robs you of faith. So let me ask you a question. Is faith, or is it a curse of expectation when someone expects to have monthly a premenstrual syndrome discomfort? Let me ask you another question. Is it faith or a curse of expectation when someone is expecting sickness or disease because they heard a television show saying the virus is in our town? Is it a curse or a faith to, is it faith or a curse of expectation to say you're going to have bad luck? Is it faith or a curse of expectation to expect that you're going to have financial problems seasonally and monthly? Some people are dreading December because they have to pay their property taxes. God is your provider. If you're doing what you're supposed to do and you're a good steward of what God's called you to do, and you have a disciplined lifestyle of giving. And I don't mean, your pastor, I just want you to know, we want to make sure we pay our tithes. I had a friend that was drafted to play football for Dallas. He's a pastor now, and he was at a church I used to attend, and he dropped $10,000, I think $10,000 or $12,000 in the offering. We want to thank so-and-so for... I don't know why we got, I'm going to say we got these looky Ricky Ricardo or looky Lucy's inside. We want to see what you give anyway. I don't know what that is. Is it faith? Or is it a curse of expectation to expect springtime allergies, winter colds, flus, sinus conditions, and other seasonal problems? Is it faith? Or a curse of expectation? I know so far I've escaped almost 99% of everybody here so far. So we're doing pretty good. We ought to be able to help somebody when you go back home to see your ministries. But you're still going to have to contend with the television commercials, because they're not going to help you. It appears that the television commercials are now the new 20th century sorcerers, advertising all types of meds, everything. They even have sexual stimulants on the cartoon channels. Who do you think that's for your children? You don't pay attention to that, you know, because that's house cleaning time and washing the car, right, guys? Well, some of you can remember several years ago, that was more than several years ago, when they had the, that was a little exchange and a little war that was going on privately between McDonald's and Burger King. So they began to develop commercials to say we flame broad. One was saying we pan fried. And so if McDonald bought a lot, they mercantile would automatically, they don't care what it costs, they bought a lot right across the street. So they began building these franchises within walking distance of each other. Well, today we have the former Seal Guards doing the same. You got to make up your mind if you're going to go to Walgreens or CVS. They're expecting you to be sick. They're expecting you to be sick. They're expecting you to be sick. My question to you again is, whose report are you going to believe? You're going to believe the report of the Lord? Who's God? Jehovah? The Lord Jesus Christ? Or the medical practitioner? What science has to say. I beg to differ with science. Anybody that's standing for medicine is something strange. I say, arrest that situation and repent. Because our God is the great physician. At the same time, I'm not speaking against doctors or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. But you don't have a right to stand up for something that comes straight out of the occult. And that's another teaching in itself. How many of you were told or believe that you can catch a cold because you go outside after washing your hair? How many people know people who get the flu about the same time every year? Seasonal flu. Seasonal curses. Some people get sick over the slightest everyday occurrences. Just, oh, it's the food, Brother Jim. It's the weather. It's the rain. It's Superman. No, it's the demons. They got in your mind. They got you thinking you're going to get sick. I tell you, I know what I'm talking about. I deal with this. I deal with this in my life, my eating habits, moderate but minor exercise. Most importantly, if I got an issue with my workers, guys working for me on the jobs, I make sure I arrest the situation so I don't have confrontation where it rains on my parade. If I got to tell you something, let me just tell you what I got to tell you. So I mitigate or minimize where I allow the enemy to cause me to become angry. Because I found out when Brother Jim gets angry or he's confrontational, he generally develops sinusitis. I think the doctors will tell you something like that too. It depends if you're getting a lot of medication from it. They might not tell you that. Just, you know, they figure you're just normal person. Everybody got to get mad. Many people expect a headache during fasting, after an argument, or during certain circumstances. They just expect a headache. It'd be sun headache, fishing headache. My pastor used to tell me years ago, put a hat on. It was a long time before I realized he was right, and I started wearing a hat when I go fishing. People in the church afraid to drive at night, and they'll tell you, I sure miss you Wednesday night. You know I don't drive at night. All the children on the next row heard that. And then 22 years from now, I got a whole group of people that's scared to drive at night. Oh, yeah. Some people think they're going to have an accident, or the accident has increased because of rainy weather. Oh, it's raining outside, Brother Jim. I couldn't make it. Others allow the curse of expectation to control their behavior, what they eat, when they sleep, how they sleep. They allow this to control them. Satan uses fear and this expectation spirit to control many people's lives. And there's very little God can use these people for because they are so limited due to their fears. How can we effectively be witnesses for Jesus Christ if we're only comfortable on sunny days? Just deal with this thing. Cars are loaded with all types of bacterial hand stuff, invisible armor. I'm not saying this is a nice cleansing habit, but you turn around and go back 5 miles because you left it. What about hiccups? Something frightens a child or a person. Now tell me, do you really think that's God? Or is it a curse of expectation? So we just pamper them, drink a little water, put a warm towel around the neck, or we say, come out! Well, maybe now you'll say, come out. Because I just don't think hiccups is a blessing from the Lord. People, there are all sorts of curses of expectation. How about Monday morning blues? You ever work with somebody like this? I knew a couple of guys at work that we had a staff meeting every Monday morning, and they had a tremendous amount of seniority, 30 years plus, both of them. Both of them are I knew them from way back going to high school. I came out there in my 30s, 37, I think, when I went to work at that company. And they had been out there since high school. And so, while we're having our meetings, and the supervisor would get a call, these guys had seniority and vacation time, and as many Mondays as they could get away with it, they would call in and take a day of unscheduled vacation to mask their drunken hangovers. So we're all kind of expecting. We didn't see him. You know, he's so, I don't want to call it a name, so he won't be here today. So you can kind of work that way too. You become a judger. Because certain habits of people are predictable. Before you know it, you're with a couple of brothers in the church saying, Brother so-and-so ain't going to do nothing. And now you're binding the curse of expectation of Brother so-and-so. I'm over here praying and fasting for Brother so-and-so to come out of this darkness. Come on out of there and be used. I'm staying in this case, staying in his face, getting him upset, whatever it takes to get him on the road. And you over there, y'all, I'm thinking y'all praying with me. Y'all over there destroying the brother. There are people that believe that the worst always happens. They're going to get bad luck because you broke some glass, or they see a black cat crossing their path, or you walk under a ladder. Don't walk under a ladder. Some of them even think because they came here. Excuse me. They came to Lake Hamilton. Bad luck. I think it was last Wednesday we were outside. I can't get them to leave quick enough sometimes. Sometimes I have to just say, Pastor's kind of tired. Y'all got to go. We're coming back Friday night for deliverance. Will you please leave? And they say, okay, Pastor, we're going. So we were out in the parking lot, everybody talking. I'm telling them, I'm going to barbecue some beef, smoke some beef. I'm going to bring y'all some beef fried. Everybody talking. This black cat come out there from McDonald's Park Cross. He walks on. He just takes his time like he owned the latch. And he walks all the way to the back. And everybody steady talking. Not one person says, shoo. And I mentioned it to him on Sunday morning, how I was blessed to see that we had competent warriors and soldiers in our midst. And they weren't concerned about the color of the skin of a cat. I did bring it up on a Sunday morning. We can't get rid of our pastor callings. All right. There are fathers, unfortunately, that expect the children always to foul up. I think we heard something a couple of days ago in one of the teachers where it's a curse when we speak to our children. You nincompoop, you numbskull, you're never going to amount to anything. Our children are a heritage and a precious gift from God. Children are precious. I see these young boys and I see all of the young people. Man, you're the gospel preachers of the next years to come. So we point out everything into you. Everything. You mean so much to us, and all of you are so precious. All of the young people are very precious. But the young people have to deal with this too. You know, cut on the light. I'm a little uncomfortable here in this dark. And because your mommy loves you so much, she let you have a light for a while, but one of these days she's going to cut the light off. Because as adults, we don't sleep with lights on. So some of you are very happy mama let you on right now, just for a little bit. But as you get older, she's going to cut those lights off. And that's okay. Well, on the other hand, there have been people in the church that dread the potential of going by their mother-in-law house or father-in-law house. It's kind of like feel real balled up here, you know. Okay. Then there are others that have been victimized in their past, and they don't want to let their guards down. I'll tell you of a particular case that my wife has worked with, because they think it's going to happen again. This friend of ours was kidnapped and kept for several days and raped. And in her counseling, and she has been a very dear friend to us, but she made it very clear that in her case of obesity, and we know that obesity is a problem that we all have to deal with at some point in our walk, older or younger. But it's nothing to laugh at and nothing to be funny about. But in this particular case, she made it very clear, and she knew she was wrong, but this is something she's got to work through. She felt like if she would get blowed up, then no man would rape her again. And she's married. Okay, and so our heart goes out to her because she is by one sincere person, but she's not able to get over that little Jordan experience. She's just not crossing over there. That's some, was it the Hebites with terror or the Hittites, elder? The Hittites with terror or the Hebites with terror? One of the names of the Hebites. Hebites mean terror. All right, so the tribe of the Hebites were called terror. So she was terror. She's terrorized in that aspect. Actually, another name would be Megamizabeth from Jeremiah the 20th chapter, verse 1 through 6. She feels terror on all sides, fear. So she is exceedingly obese. And she made it very clear, not rebelliously, just, you know, I just don't want nobody to do that to me again. So I want to make sure they don't want to look at me. It's a very challenging thing. And so we're going to continue to work because, like I say, she is a woman of God. And she's raised her daughter in the Lord. Her daughter loves her. She's a high school senior and loves Jesus. And So we just need to work with her, you know. So you need to understand, sometimes this is the situation. All right, so that's her expectation. That's her curse. And I'll share this with my wife. Maybe we can talk with her about this aspect of the ministry here, breaking the curse of expectation. Well, there's a problem with being an effective witness for God with this type of behavior. You could probably still witness, and these spirits will harass you and so forth, and you probably can do some things for God, but certainly they're going to dictate who you witness to and how often and when. If you're climate controlled, you're sensitive to the elements and fears of men, with this curse of expectation manifest in your life, you are going to be enabled or challenged. And you're not going to be able to be an effective witness for God. Now, that ought to kind of get you a little disturbed, because we ought to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in our nation, and I have been overseas, and I've heard the plight of my friends overseas that also feel in the problems with the financial markets and the issues in this nation. Millions are facing the expectation of loss. Loss of savings. The Midianite spirits, the Amalekite spirits, are out there and trying to impoverish the camp of God. But you know that God is going to ensure that we have our provisions and what is needed. But we got to put Him first and foremost. First and foremost. So, there's a great expectation within this nation and nations abroad of loss being programmed into the hearts and minds of the people to disarm them to the truth that in God we have our trust and that we need to have faith in God to bring the provisions for us. So the world and the secular system and Satan and his demons are trying to disarm the church and get us caught up in this thing. Get us caught up into this whole trend. People, God's holy word is the only effective agent against the international problems that we're facing. But now the expectation of many people is to hear, what will our government do? What the Democrats and Republicans going to do? The banks are failing. The car manufacturers are failing. The stock market has already failed. These sorts of expectations and facts can rob you of your faith and trust in God if you allow them to control you. God has warned all of us that we must cast down the strongholds and the imaginations. The enemy wants to control you through this fear and through this expectation that something adverse is going to happen to your life. He wants to tell you that there are generational things in the family bloodline. Don't you know your dad died of a certain disease, or a mom, or there's a certain condition that's prevalent in your families today? There's a tendency for this or that. In my family, it was prostate cancer. There were so many curses that came down my bloodline that I had to start breaking many, many years ago, and still are breaking. My dad was hit in the buttocks by a soldier who was simply doing his job in war, overseas in Korea, and the soldier was taking him as a prisoner. So it's, you know, we tend to kick our prisoners around a little bit, don't we? And hit him in the buttocks with a butt of a gun. That hurt pretty bad. He and I talk about it years later. He's still grimish. He has had two back surgeries. My second oldest brother, under me, has had two back surgeries from car accidents. My third youngest brother, Kenneth, which would be the third brother. See, I'm one, two. The third one in line has had two back surgeries. And my youngest brother, Kendrick, has had two back surgeries. Now, tell me that's not a generational curse. Yeah. The doctors told me that I had in the bottom of my back, because I got thrown off a train, and I rolled and got up and went back to work. And the company said, you got to go to medical. And they hit my leg. Being an ex-EMT, when it did jump, I knew what was happening. They were going to send me home. I looked down there and said, oh boy, I'm going home now. So I enjoyed them 60 days. So I asked my doctor. She's a real nice lady. Her husband and I grew up together. We're friends. His daddy was a doctor, and I was friends with his daddy, mom, and all of them. I said, Maxie, and I told his wife, I said, so what am I going to have done to me? Because I don't feel nothing. All right? They said, you can't have surgery. I said, what? I can't have surgery. No, I don't need no surgery. No surgery. I said, well, that's one of the curses broken. So when there's prayer lines, I pray and believe God for whatever she saw down in the bottom. She says arthritis, and I don't have any pain, no discomfort, no nothing. Nope, yes, no bitterness. Amen. Okay? I am convinced that the curse has lost its strength. The doctors even says, you will not have back surgery. So what are we trusting? Are we trusting the Lord? Are you trusting in God? Do you have faith in God? Is He your refuge? Is He your shield? Is He your strong tower? Do you trust Him? All right, well then, I want to lead you in a very brief prayer tonight, because we went through a long prayer last night. And then I want to challenge some demons associated with this curse of expectation. And I can almost promise you, by the grace of God, we'll be out here by 9:30 this time for real. I noticed last night I had went over 20 minutes. But the listing here is not that long, and I think I've said enough that you realize now, when you limit yourself because of the weather or things or places or the potential of something adverse happening, then you need to do a checkup on yourself. Because you know now you need to deal with this, and this is not norm in the Church of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask that you repeat after me this simple prayer so we can break the curse. Amen?
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.